God knows you better than you do. God loves you more than you do. And God's more committed to your ultimate joy, what Abigail was saying. The joy of Jesus is our, that joy of our salvation, it's a strength. And he wants you to come and share your master's happiness. And he's your ultimate life coach. We've been looking at the early church being devoted to certain things. The word, devoted to the fellowship, devoted, and we'll get into devoted to breaking of bread and to prayer. And we're just saying, what are these things that they were devoted to? Because there was life there. They were meeting daily in the temple courts. They were meeting house to house, and Christ was being formed in them, and people were seeing the grace of God on their lives, and people were being drawn to the life. You know, people said, you know, well, when I go to Australia and we see sheep everywhere, but I don't see fences. And he said, out here, mate, we don't build fences, we dig wells. Let that sink in. In other words, there's well of life, and the sheep know where the water is, and the sheep come there, and they're fed there, and there's life there. And so there's, wherever there's life, you know, it's going to be a congregation, and there's going to be a gathering, and that's what God's intended, for the life to flow. And so this one, Athanasius, he's declared a saint, but we're all saints. Do you know that? If you're a believer in Christ, you're a saint. So don't give this guy a special title. But he said, God became like us so that we might become like God. Wow. Wow. Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and as our high priest. He alone is our high priest. No one. I'm not the priest. I'm not the minister. You're all ministers. When you put me on a pedestal, you've lost, you know, there's level ground at the cross. There's level ground at the cross. And he didn't leave us as orphans. The Father said he would give us the Spirit, and the promised gift of the Father was the Holy Spirit. And how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He said, I will not leave you alone. You'll never be alone. That sense of being the Parakletos, the one that's closer, Parakletos, or closer than any other, right beside us. And there's a work of sanctification to become more and more Christ-like. Through the living word, through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit at work within us. And so that Christ is formed in us. That was the prayer of Paul, that Christ would be formed in you, the Galatian church, and that Spirit would work in us to live and act according to his good purpose. There would be a comfort, there would be a conviction, there would be a counsel, there would be a help, there would be whatever you need. There would be continuing work in you. Even when you get stuck, the Lord will help you to get unstuck. And so I know that God, as we mentioned last week, he wants us to see through new eyes and a new light. He wants us to see the world in a biblical worldview, not in the worldview of the nation we're in or other people's thoughts on the world. Our values are rooted in what we believe in the Bible. And that's our worldview. Our worldview determines our values. Our values determine our behavior. And that's why we live out what we do and what we express. So each one of the values I gave on that sheet last week, and I think there are spare copies, but one of them was being the priesthood of all believers, being a royal priesthood, a minister or priest with a specific function and role in the body. So there's no clergy laity. That thing has killed the life of God. If there's one person that the life has to flow through, it's a cork in the bottle. I got out the way this morning. Amen. Everybody's like, yay. And there was people ministering and there was life. And I think that's wonderful. You know, we had asked some of the leaders to just wait on God and bring what they feel in God. And I was encouraged. I almost hoped that it was recorded so we could listen to some of it. But anyway, I could, you know, almost rewind. Just press record so we can. So you kind of think, well, is this a New Testament concept? The priesthood of all believers, a royal priesthood, a holy nation? But it was even outlined in the Old Testament in Exodus 19, verse 4 to 6. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that I speak to you, people of Israel. And then in Isaiah 61 and verse 6, the first part, it says, you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as ministers of our God. Now that was a nation he was speaking to, but they were believers in God. As believers in God, you fall into that category. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 and 9, you yourselves are living stones and are being built up in a spiritual house, as a spiritual house. This is not a building, this is a spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you, Gateway Church, and other believers are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then Revelation 1, just to verse 5 and 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Friends, God reminded me of a time where I had a collision in a motorcycle race. I was young and reckless. and I remember this guy, he was ahead of me in the dust, and he turned around because he had missed the waypoints. When you have off-road races, you have little ticker tape things to show you where you're meant to go. And he had obviously in the dust, and he came straight out the dust, and we had a head-on collision. And he must have caught my arm with his handlebar or something, because it was an almighty crash. And I looked, and my motorbike seemed to, I thought it actually destroyed the radiator, but it was, do you know what tire weld is? It's like a tire inflation stuff, but it had punctured that, which I had in case I had a puncture. And anyway, I got the thing going, and I rode the rest of that race for hours and hours. But at the end of it, I couldn't straighten my arm. I generally couldn't go beyond that. And I thought, what's happened? I had to go to a physiotherapist, and they use ultrasound. I was trying to remember a long time ago, probably 30 years ago. But I had to go for treatment to have this arm basically worked on, because the ligaments and everything had pulled up close, and I couldn't straighten it. And eventually, I got more and more mobility, more and more flexibility. And I think the body of Christ is like that. It needs some ultrasound. It needs some rehabilitation. It needs some a life flowed back into it. And so each part has to stay vitally connected. Each part has to be able to flex, spiritually able to flex every supporting ligament. And when you take that away from the body of Christ grows weaker. It has to, because it's not exercising as God intended it to. Each person is a gift. You're a gift this morning. Can you say, I'm a gift? You're a gift to the body. You are, each one of you, you are a gift. And I celebrate that, because it God gave you as a gift to grow and build up and do your part. And the Ephesians 4 passage is a classic on this, chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, that's you and me, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's the priesthood priesting, if there is such a word. Each part doing its part. Wow. The whole body. No dismembered members. No amputees. No parts of the body that would, you know, you get elephantitis, you know, it's part of the body that takes on a greater role than it should. Then you get atrophy, which I spoke about earlier this morning, where parts actually wasting away. So there's different maladies, or is it maladies? Anyway, there's different things, afflictions that can affect the body of Christ. And it's like, what am I afflicted with this morning? You know, is there a part of me that God wants to re-energize, reawaken and activate? And one of the afflictions that disqualified the priesthood in the book of Leviticus. I don't know if too many of us spend a lot of time in the book of Leviticus. But the priests weren't allowed to minister if they had boils. Now that reminds me of my second story, which is, boils are small unhealed wounds that have become infected. And as a young man, I had boils. I confess, I had boils. Sis, yes, it's gross. And you had to wait for them to form a head. Sometimes three heads, my mom used to tell me, because she was very kind and she used to help me. But you see, I was very sensitive and I didn't want anyone to touch me and because there was pain. And you see, even trying to sit was impossible because that's where they were. But anyway, my mom would use a warm poultice with cotton wool. You're not going to forget this illustration. And she, anyway, hope you can forget it. But she used to humble, I used to have to humble myself because I knew she was trying to help me. I knew she was there for my good. And I knew that I had a problem that needed help. Friends, if you're offended, if you're resentful, if you're angry, if you're bitter, God's word to you is don't struggle on alone. It's, we heard that strongly this morning. You see, the church is a community of people who need are in need of forgiveness and a place where forgiveness flows freely because forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people forgive. If you cannot forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Jesus said that. It is a key. Forgiveness is a key. Ephesians 4 also says, be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Friends, when we look at, we sang that song about, though I was a foe, your love still fought for me. Think about that, those words. We were at enmity with God. Our sins had hidden his face from us, that we could not hear God. We were objects of wrath. Did you know that? We are more sinful than we dare to believe, but we are more loved than we could scarcely hope for. We are more loved. That he, even though we're at our worst, he still died for us. At the very worst, the time that you were most shameful, if it went up on the screen and you would cringe a thousand deaths, if you thought, if somebody knew that about me, God knows it about you. He knows whatever shame you've carried, whatever abuse you've experienced, emotional, physical, sexual, whatever abuse you've been through. And all of us have been abused at some point. It might not be social worker intervention abuse, but there's been abuse in our lives, whether we've even spoken words of death over ourselves and whether we've allowed certain things to be spoken over us, whether we've chosen to believe a lie. There's so many areas. But God's grace is sufficient. God's power is made perfect in weakness. And as you humble yourself, God lifts you up. And the wonderful thing, friends, is repentance is a gift from God. It's a wonderful gift. It's the antidote to guilt and shame. God put guilt there because it would tell us there's a problem. If you unresolved guilt, friends, leads to mental health problems. And I'm going to say that quite dogmatically because I've seen so much in my life where it's rooted in shame and it's rooted in brokenness and it's rooted in pain. Some done to people. It's not all that people have done it to themselves, but people have had things done to them. And there's health issues that go with that. There's brokenness that goes with that. And there's a measure of God wanting to enter into that pain. Depression, often there's anger and there's self-pity there. And the answer to that is to acknowledge it and to say, God, I know I'm angry. I'm even angry at you. God, there's areas that I say to myself, I deserve better than this. How many of us have thought that? We've allowed thoughts like that. Like, why have I had this happen to me? Why is that happening to me? And yet God wants to heal. And please forgive me, Lord. It's so freeing. Just those words, please forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. It's so liberating. And God has made us to be a kingdom of priests. And we can be disqualified from effective ministry by letting our small wounds become infected. And one of the primary differences of those who go on to show spiritual fruit and those who don't is how well they deal with their wounds. Friends, Matthew 18. When you have an issue, go to your brother or your sister. Don't talk about it. You can talk to God about it, but yeah, don't talk to each other about it. Yeah, you go to that person. If you're offended, it says in Matthew 18, it says go. If you have anything against your brother or sister, go to them privately. If we don't learn to forgive, we're the ones who suffer. And when Jesus took those stripes, by his stripes we are healed. You see, he absorbed that without retaliating. And the evil of unjust wounds was broken because he accepted them without striking back or becoming bitter about them. Jesus could have borne bitterness. He could have internalized it. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. What love, What mercy in the face of such wickedness. And that mercy broke the power of the judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. So if you have a problem with me, I want to say right up front, come and talk to me. If you have a problem with anyone else, go and talk to them. I'm telling you now, the one way that the devil would, look, there's probably many ways the enemy can work, but if you haven't take issue with leadership, I'm telling you that's one big area the enemy will, and if there are things that I have said I haven't greeted you, I haven't perhaps called you when you've been down or you've been sick or you've been, you know, there's lots of areas that you could get offended, lots of areas. Just stick around. But then you look at a church as a family, and family has to learn to get along. Family has to, the body needs to be healthy, and family's built on relationships, and those relationships need to be strong. So I always like to think of it like this, interpret present misunderstandings in the light of past character. In other words, is that person for me? Do they love me? Do they have my best interest at heart? Can I trust them? Then put some of the issue at hand aside and say, yes, actually, they do love me. They are for me. And I can trust that they're for my welfare and my good. I want to say that I'm here for your good. If you stick with us, we'll do you good. If you walk with us, my intention is that we'll do you good. My intention is not to harm you. My intention is not to try and go out of my way to upset you or offend you. But God, he's interested in your welfare. We too are interested in your welfare. And we do care deeply for you as a leadership. So God wants to turn negative experiences into stepping stones for spiritual authority in the ministry of reconciliation. Take your minuses and turn them to pluses. Take your brokenness and make it something, a trophy of grace, of beauty. That is the God that I serve. He takes my shame and my brokenness that I shared a few weeks ago. And I've shared that, and it's brought liberty to other people who've also had sexual brokenness, or they've also disqualified themselves and maybe being deceitful or cheating or doing whatever it is. There's nothing that you've done that wouldn't surprise me. That really, in 20 plus years of ministry, I've heard a lot. In fact, I heard a lot more in South Africa because people share a lot more. And they actually just like unload and unburden. They just dump, you know. And I just like, man. And it was just, well, have you been to God with this? What does God want you to do? What are you willing to do? What will bring God glory and honor? Those are key questions. What do you need to do? What are you willing to do? What does God want you to do? And what will bring God honor? That's it, friends. That's my message this morning. And I'm landing on time. Well, almost. Amen. It was just like, food. So friends, I do encourage you, as was said this morning, let's drop the masks. Tony started by saying that, let's drop the masks. Immediately, I thought of Charlotte, who's been to church a few times, and she's an artist, and she had this incredible picture. And maybe I could ask whether we could put it up somewhere, but it's of her artwork, her thesis or whatever her artwork. She's got this picture of herself and then with four masks coming off it with different expressions. It's very powerful. And it just spoke immediately as Tony said that. So friends, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the body that's being sharing its life and ministering and expressing that which is in you, God. Who you are and the life that you give. God, thank you for that life that pulsates within your body, quickening your body, raising it to life, raising it to health, raising it to strength. God, let us be living and active. Let us be activated as your priests in your precious name.